Well, please open your Bible this evening to Matthew chapter 11. And just to give us an introduction to our message this evening, I want to continue in my series on the gospel for all and talk about another religious system that is false and that needs to be compared to biblical Christianity. And to prepare ourselves for this, I want us to look at the words of our Lord and some tremendous promises that he gives to those who will come to him. Matthew 11:28, this familiar passage, Jesus himself speaking says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We've been singing about him this evening. Our focus really of this whole service has been on him, and rightly so. He deserves our praise and our worship. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the one come to be our Redeemer. And we thank you that this promise that he made is a genuine promise that is true, and every believer who comes to him has experienced this rest of the soul that he gives. And I pray, Lord, for those who are caught up in the religious system that we're going to be studying about tonight, who are so desperately searching for rest for their souls, and they're looking in the wrong place. And I pray, Lord, that this message might be for them or for us as believers to share with them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this series, we're focusing on different religions, different religious systems of the world. And tonight, I want to consider how we can share the gospel with our Scientologist friends. Now, it could be that you've never met a Scientologist. It could also be that in the Lord's providence, you will meet one this week. All right, so this is kind of to prepare us and to help us be informed. How can we share the gospel with someone who's caught up in this system of Scientology? Now, I want you to remember the foundational premise for this entire series, and that is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel for all. It's the same gospel that we proclaim to every person, every religion of the world. Everyone in the world needs to hear the message that we have, the message concerning Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind, that he rose from the grave, and that he has the power to save people, to deliver them from the penalty and the power of sin, and ultimately even from the presence of sin. And so we proclaim Christ, and that is our mission as a church. That is our mission individually as believers, to be going about the Great Commission and sharing Christ with the world, who the world and the system of the world and the people that are caught up in the religions of the world, they all need to hear the life-saving and life-transforming message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel for all. And so Scientologists need to hear the same message. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know that their problem is not one of repressed memories that they need to get rid of and get it out of their system in some way. Their problem is not that, but it's a problem of sin. Sin against a holy God. They need to know that the way to inner peace is not by being clear of these repressed memories. We'll learn about their system of belief in a moment. Their way of inner peace is not through the contrivances of man, but solely through Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. Their freedom, their inner peace will come through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our job to share that with them. So how do we open a conversation with a Scientologist that will lead to an opportunity, an open door for us to present the gospel to them? Well, we'll get to that in a moment, but first we need to learn something about this system of belief, because I'm willing to bet that very few here have any or much knowledge of the Church of Scientology. So let me give you a little bit of a background. I'm going to follow the same outline for this message that I've been following in this series. We're going to study about the history of Scientology, then their system of beliefs. And then, thirdly, we'll talk about what Scientologists need to hear, how we can share the gospel with them. Well, let's start with the word Scientology. Scientology literally means knowing how to know. The founder of Scientology was one L. Ron Hubbard. His first name is Lafayette, but he went by L. Ron Hubbard. And Hubbard began his study of the human mind way back in 1923. And it turns out as you begin to study this particular figure, he's actually quite interesting. He was a science fiction writer. He wrote science fiction in the 1930s and 1940s. And it's said that he announced at a science fiction convention at one point, quote, "Writing for a penny, a word, is ridiculous. If a man really wanted to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion." And that's precisely what he went and did. Beginning in 1938, he wrote a series of unpublished manuscripts that eventuated in a well-known book, a best-selling book, Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health. Now, that term Dianetics actually comes from a couple Greek words, dia, meaning through, and naeo, which means to know. And so through knowledge, and this is all focused on the human mind and knowing and having knowledge even of ourselves, that seems to be the focus of Scientology. So this book, Dianetics, was first published in 1950. And that same year, Hubbard established a nonprofit organization called the Dianetic Research Foundation. 4 years later, in 1954, the Church of Scientology was founded as a nonprofit corporation. Now, if you go forward in time from there, in 1967, the IRS stripped the Church of Scientology of its tax-exempt status because of all of its commercial dealings. It had become a tremendous enterprise, and lots of property was being bought, and lots of things were being sold, and it seemed really like a for-profit corporation, at least to the IRS. And so they took away the Church of Scientology's tax-exempt status, and it took over 25 years for the Church of Scientology to convince the IRS that it's a church and that it's a religion and that everything it's doing is supposed to be nonprofit. And so actually they negotiated with the IRS to reverse their decision and restore the tax-exempt status of the Church of Scientology. Now, right in the midst of all of that, in 1977, the Church of Scientology took a very big hit. And this is intriguing. Some 5,000 Scientologists were indicted for their role in a covert spying operation on the U.S. government. And this operation was codenamed Operation Snow White. And leading the effort was Mary Sue Hubbard, the wife of the founder of this religion. And she and others were convicted and sentenced to 5 years in prison and fined $10,000 each. And surprisingly, L. Ron Hubbard escaped prosecution. He seemed to somehow insulate and isolate himself from all of this corruption that was taking place, and he was not prosecuted. He emerged unfazed. Now, around this time, in 1975, the Church of Scientology moved its spiritual headquarters, if you want to call it that, to the town of Clearwater, Florida. Now, that begins to touch my life because that's where I grew up, in Clearwater, Florida. And I distinctly remember the controversial newspaper headline in the Clearwater Sun, "Scientologists Plot City Takeover." And maybe they were. There seemed to be some basis to this. And I distinctly remember driving down South Fort Harrison Avenue there in downtown Clearwater and noticing all of these people on both sides streaming down the sides of the road and into this Fort Harrison Hotel, a landmark structure there in downtown Clearwater, to their spiritual headquarters. And frankly, as I looked at the faces of these people, they looked like ordinary people. who had some kind of excitement to them, but they just seemed to be propelled forward, like pulled into the structure like a magnet, into their Church of Scientology. Well, a lot has happened in the spiritual headquarters of the Scientology. They bought up a bunch of other properties in Clearwater. And they built a massive new headquarters building, 380,000 square feet, a massive structure. They've completely remodeled the Fort Harrison Hotel. They bought up some other 50 other buildings in the city of Clearwater. And they call this campus their Flag Land Base, or FLAG for short. And so a Scientologist might refer to FLAG. They're referring to their headquarters there in Clearwater, Florida. It makes me think that perhaps the Clearwater Sun headline was not too far off the mark. Now, the church owns many other choice properties, too. And I mean choice properties. For example, they own a 440-foot cruise ship called the Free Winds that apparently some Scientologists are privileged to travel on. And they own properties all over the U.S. and around the world. They own the Scientology Celebrity Center, appealing to various celebrities. And celebrities have been attracted to this particular false religion. And they would include Priscilla Presley, Isaac Hayes, and actors John Travolta and Tom Cruise, to name a few. Scientology owns and operates a vast array of businesses. They own the Golden Era Productions, a movie studio located, I think it's 500 acres studio. I'm not sure where that is. I think in California. And that was built in 1978. Scientology also runs the Narcanon drug addiction program. That is a Scientology organization. And they also publish several magazines. And I want to just mention a few because I want you to be on your alert. When you see something like this, you need to understand it's coming from the Church of Scientology. They have magazines called Ability and Advance and Celebrity and The Auditor and Freedom magazine. The church has acquired its vast wealth through a variety of means, including ongoing book sales of L. Ron Hubbard's writings. In fact, the book Dianetics to date has sold 17 million copies. Pops up everywhere. They also charge for their courses their people go through, and they charge for their auditing sessions, and we'll talk about those a little bit later here. Some have estimated, and these would be estimates coming from outside the church, some have estimated the cost of completing all levels, including the upper levels, in Scientology at between $300,000 and $500,000 per person. And there are testimonies, and you can find these online, of people who have gotten out of the Church of Scientology, and they do seem to indicate that they poured a lot of money into what they went through before they got out. L. Ron Hubbard is reported to have had a stroke in the early 1980s. I say reported, it seemed to be kept quite secret. And control of the vast Scientology empire then passed on to a young 21-year-old, a second-generation Scientologist by the name of David Miscavige. Hubbard died in 1986. But what's really curious is that no Scientologist will use terms like died or death in reference to Hubbard's passing. It's almost like they're in denial. According to a video on Scientology.org, Scientology now has over 11,000 churches, missions, and groups scattered around 184 nations. They claim to be growing at a rate of 4.4 million per year. They also claim that their growth is accelerating faster today than ever before, and they claim to be the fastest growing religious movement on earth. I don't know whether that's true, but if that growth rate is anywhere near the reality, they are growing very rapidly. And that's one reason I would bring Scientology up, even to our particular area here where we don't know about a Church of Scientology. It's likely that you might rub shoulders with someone who is at least curious about Scientology, is at least dabbling in it. And so I would hope that you would be prepared as a result of tonight's message. The question before us, one question to consider is this, is Scientology a religion? Is it a religion? Well, it has all the hallmarks of a religion. From the viewpoint of the Bible, it would be, of course, a false religion. It's organized as a church. It operates as a 501c3 nonprofit organization under IRS code. And it still, though, seems to have a lot of for-profit businesses that it's operating. And it has still, to this day, attracted the scrutiny of the IRS. So is it a religion? It's a religion. It's a false religion. Is it a cult? Would we classify it as a cult? Well, it has all the characteristics of a cult. A highly charismatic leader, L. Ron Hubbard. A closed system of beliefs largely defined by that leader. Hierarchies of secrecy within its structure. Indeed, there are many levels of secrecy within Scientology. An unusual level of control over the lives of individual members. Some of its members are signing like these, you know, forever agreements where they would allow the church to even basically incarcerate them if they need to have some kind of, you know, adjustment of some sort. And it also has a lot of social pressure that makes it very hard for somebody who gets into Scientology to get out of it. So it does seem to have all the characteristics of a cult. In fact, Walter Martin, the author of The Kingdom of the Cults, categorizes Scientology as a non-Christian cult. And I would add to that, Dr. Morris Fishbeck, former editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association, called L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics a, quote, mind-healing cult. And so others are calling it a cult, and I do believe it properly is classified as a cult and a false religion. Well, that's a brief summary of how Scientology developed. What do Scientologists believe? Now, this is really just fascinating. You're just going to have to really listen to what I'm about to say, because you're going to hear a lot of concepts that are very foreign to us as Christians. Let me read for you the summary of beliefs of Scientology that comes word for word from their website. I'm now quoting the website of Scientology. Man is an immortal spiritual being. His experience extends well beyond a single lifetime. Now pay attention to that one. His capabilities are unlimited, even if not presently realized. Scientology further holds man to be basically good, and that his spiritual salvation, note that term, depends upon himself, his fellows, and his attainment of brotherhood with the universe. Scientology is not a dogmatic religion in which one is asked to accept anything on faith alone. Note that. On the contrary, one discovers for oneself that the principles of Scientology are true by applying its principles and observing or experiencing the results. And their last statement here is, the ultimate goal of Scientology is true spiritual enlightenment and freedom for all. Now, I've read all that from their website because I want you to think about what I just read and compare it to what we studied 2 weeks ago when we considered the religion of Buddhism. Don't you see some similarities there? There are some similarities. And the reason there are those similarities is because L. Ron Hubbard went and studied various religions of the world. And he drew his conclusions and wrote the things that he wrote on the basis of what he studied in Hinduism, in Buddhism, in Taoism. And in fact, the writings of L. Ron Hubbard are basically treated at the level of Holy Scripture within the Church of Scientology. And so his writings become their scripture, you see. They revere him as someone who would be on the order of a prophet, although they wouldn't call him that. And Scientologists typically have no regard or no knowledge of the Christian scriptures, the Bible. They have no knowledge whatsoever in most cases. Well, what do Scientologists believe concerning man, mankind? Well, already in those statements we can see that Scientology is based on humanism and has humanistic underpinnings. Teaches that mankind is basically good and that the basic instinct of every person is to survive. And that kind of comes from a basis of evolutionary theory. The basic instinct for all people is to survive and therefore to avoid pain and pursue pleasure. And Hubbard himself ascribed to a rather strange variant of human evolutionary theory. He went on to teach all of these new concepts and threw out all of these new words, and keeping in mind the fact that he was a science fiction writer, it's a no wonder that this guy could be so imaginative. Hubbard taught that Thetan is the real you, Thetan. This comes from the Greek letter theta. I don't know what the connection is there exactly. But a Thetan is something akin to our concept of the human soul, except in Scientology, the Thetan is a timeless entity, one that can live, you know, thousands of years and multiple human lives and reincarnate even into interplanetary life forms. And I have to insert at this point that perhaps it's a mere coincidence that the word Thetan rhymes with Satan, whom we studied about this morning. Scientologists prefer the term rebirth, though, over the term reincarnation. So if you ask them if they believe in reincarnation, they might say no, or they might correct you and say they believe in this idea of rebirth. And that includes being reborn as some extraterrestrial life form, or, you know, evolving as something on some other planet or even on planet Earth. And they believe that a person's Thetan may be implanted with so-called body Thetans. Are you following me now? These are sort of like parasites that have been along for the ride for something like 75 million years, okay? And so that's, you've got to get rid of these body Thetans so that your Thetan can be whole. Is this wacky or what? In Dianetics, Hubbard described the human mind in two sections, I guess you'd say. The analytical mind, a conscious thinking part of our mind, and the reactive mind. Now, this is central to Scientology. The reactive mind is where repressed traumatic memories are recorded in some kind of a picture form. And Hubbard gave a term to these things. He called them engrams. So now you've got all these new terms you're learning, Thetans and engrams. Engrams, you can think of them as these repressed memories that are causing trouble in your body. They're the cause of all of your sickness or all of your, you know, the trouble that you have in your mind, all of the struggles that you have. You need to get rid of these engrams. That's what Hubbard taught. And if you get rid of all of them, you will achieve a state that he called clear. And that's really the goal of all that the Scientologists go through. They're trying to get rid of all their engrams so that they can achieve this state of clear, kind of this perfect rest of the soul. That's what they're after. Now, we need to point out here that Hubbard did not believe in man's sinful nature. Again, he was humanistic in his thinking, thinking that man was intrinsically good. Nor did he believe in man's need to repent. In fact, he wrote this, quote, "It is despicable and utterly beneath contempt to tell a man he must repent that he is evil," end quote. Well, that's blasphemy, folks. I mean, that's exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. That's the exact opposite of what the gospel says. Well, what do Scientologists believe concerning salvation? Hubbard taught that salvation is to be free from the endless cycle of deaths and rebirths. Now, again, does that sound familiar? That basically is borrowed right from the pages of Buddhism. What do Scientologists believe concerning the afterlife? This is another fascinating area. Hubbard taught that Thetans can achieve a state of so-called operational Thetan, OT for short. And by achieving this state, they can then start to graduate up through 8 levels of operational Thetan. So if you become an OT8, you've arrived. You're there. That would be ultimate immortality and enlightenment. What do Scientologists believe concerning God and concerning Jesus Christ? Well, Scientologists don't believe in a personal God. They don't believe in the Creator God of the Bible. There are some references in Hubbard's writing about a supreme being, but they're very rare. The Supreme Being in Scientology is described in vague, kind of pantheistic terms. One way of describing it was the allness of all. Now, it is true that God is our all in all, is he not? But you see the perversion in their thinking here. And this allness of all is associated with Scientology's eighth dynamic, which they call infinity. So basically, they're putting the concept of God way, way out there. And it's something, in fact, they're trying to attain. What about Jesus Christ? Well, Hubbard had a very low view of Jesus Christ. He assessed Jesus on a purely human level. He viewed Jesus' messiahship as merely making him, qualifying him to be a teacher of truth, and certainly not a divinely anointed deliverer. He declared that Jesus never attained the level of operational Thetan, nor did Buddha. And so L. Ron Hubbard puts himself above Jesus Christ. He said Jesus was, quote, just a shade above clear, end quote. Now we get into some of the Scientologist practices, and here's where you might have some awareness of some of the things that Scientologists do. Hubbard taught that each person is held back from their full potential by their engrams, like I said earlier. And to be freed from their engrams and achieve the state of clear, a person has to go a process known as auditing. Auditing. A trained auditor sits down with a person who is not yet clear. They call that person a pre-clear. So the auditor sits down across the desk from a pre-clear. And on the desk between them is a device called an e-meter. How many have ever heard of an e-meter? Okay, only one or two. I'm surprised at that. An e-meter. What is an e-meter? Well, it's a Hubbard electropsychometer. It's called an e-meter for short. It's essentially a device which measures skin conductivity. And so what a person does is pre-clear sits down across the desk from the auditor, and he grabs a hold of these two can-like devices and holds one in each hand with wires leading over to the e-meter. And as they're being asked questions, kind of almost interviewed by the auditor is watching the needle move on the e-meter so that they can try to identify where these engrams are. Are you following all this? Is this not really bizarre? And I have to say, I have only scratched the surface. Hubbard was just so imaginative, so prolific. His book, Dianetics, is some 435 pages long. And just flipping through it would just make you go, what? What? I haven't even told you about the eight dynamics. I haven't told you about the tone scale, which peaks at 40 with the serenity of beingness. I haven't told you about the arc and the KRC triangles. Now, I didn't say, what's KFC? Okay, I didn't say KFC. You guys are all getting hungry now on me, I can tell. KRC. But there's this, all this stuff that's, where does all this come from? It comes from the imaginative mind of a man, L. Ron Hubbard. Scientology is a false religion. It is a cult. And it is dangerous. There are many young people being sucked into this cult. Many young people. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. We looked at this passage even this morning, but let me just remind you of it. 1 John chapter 4. We really need to have biblical discernment. And we need to be helping young people to cultivate biblical discernment so that they will not get sucked into cults like Scientology. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Put them to the test, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. We need to have this kind of discernment. And the litmus test of any religious system, certainly any system like a cult, would be what do they believe about Jesus Christ? If their Christology is off, they are not Christian. That's the litmus test. And certainly Scientology is way, way off the mark. So we talked about how they developed, what they believe. Let's get to the meat of the matter. What do Scientologists need to hear? Well, let's understand that Scientologists have been indoctrinated. They have had their mind filled with all kinds of false ideas. They have been, we might use the term, brainwashed by the teachings of Scientology. And so if we are going to have any hope of reaching a Scientologist, we need to recognize how much deprogramming is needed. Former Scientologist Michael Leonard Tilse suggests an apologetic approach to sharing the gospel with a Scientologist, to helping them get out of Scientology. He says, don't go and say Scientology is not a religion. You've lost them right there. Don't attack the founder, L. Ron Hubbard, at least not at first. Recognize that Scientologists have made huge personal investments. They're invested in what they believe. They're financially invested, maybe even exposed, because they have committed themselves to this Church of Scientology. And they have themselves convinced that it works. I mean, there is kind of this psychosomatic thing that goes on here, and you can convince yourself kind of by placebo effect that, you know, things are getting better. And so many of them are convinced that it works in some measure. What you need to do, he says, is that you need to show that you really care about them. You need to be willing to take some time, invest the time in opening a dialogue with them. And start to ask them some probing questions. Now you're armed with some basic knowledge about Scientology. Start asking them questions that start to expose the inconsistencies in their system. He says, ask them about the power of an operating Thetan. And then ask them if they know Scientologists who are at this level who get sick and get cancer, or have strokes, and die. Ask them about the ideals of Scientology, kind of their moral code, if you will, of ethics and justice. And then ask them if they're aware of inconsistencies within the Church of Scientology itself concerning the practice of those things. And this might open the door. An apologetic approach may open the door for the presentation of the gospel. But I would like to suggest maybe another approach that might be more effective and more direct. And that would be to open a dialogue with a Scientologist that is a comparison of religions. If you can get them to dialogue with you, you start asking them questions without attacking them and what they believe. You ask them, you kind of get them to share from their own experiences, what do Scientologists think, what do they believe, you know, what do they practice, and so forth. And then you get your turn to say, okay, I see what you're talking about. Let me tell you what Christianity believes. And you start kind of going down some important areas where you'll at least be able to expose them to Christian theology. They don't have much of that. They need that. And so I'm going to suggest that you open a dialogue in the form of a comparison of religions. Let's get yourself on the topic of God. Ask them to explain their idea of a supreme being. And then suggest to them that if a supreme being existed, would that supreme being not be intelligent? And they would probably agree with you there. And if that supreme being is intelligent, would it not communicate with us? And perhaps they would begin to see the point you're trying to make. And then you explain to them, this creates the opportunity for you to explain to them then the Christian concept of God, that God is an intelligent being. In fact, he's the most intelligent being in the universe. And that God, as an intelligent being, has spoken. He has communicated with us. And that's what the Bible is. And so you're beginning to help them to understand Christian doctrine. You might share with them Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Explain to them the Old Testament prophets who have spoken and have been the spokespeople of God. And then it goes on to say, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And then help your Scientologist friend to see that Jesus is the Son of God who is speaking pure truth to us. And we have that recorded in our New Testament. So you speak to them in basic concepts of Christianity. You're educating them. They probably don't even get any of that. And you have to explain it to them as if they're hearing it for the first time. So concerning God, and then concerning truth. Here's a quote from L. Ron Hubbard. Listen carefully. He says, "Know thyself, and the truth shall set you free." So you might share that with your Scientologist friend. Say, are you aware that L. Ron Hubbard said this? You know, what do you think about that? Dialogue on that a little bit. They will probably explain, you know, what they believe in Scientology, that it's all about, you know, this looking inward at ourselves and discovering these engrams and getting rid of them and all that stuff. And then you can say, well, can I read a quote to you from Jesus? Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And so you can dialogue with them on that and show them how Jesus himself is the gateway to truth. You might also help them at this point to understand the value of the Bible, the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures of God. You might read 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Help them to see how the Christians believe concerning the scriptures and the value of the Bible in our lives as a source of truth. And so concerning God, concerning truth, concerning mankind. You're going to have to get onto this topic. You're going to have to get onto anthropology, on the study of mankind. You might open the dialogue in this area by asking your Scientology friend about their moral codes. You know, what do you believe? You know, what's good, what's bad, and that kind of stuff. Ask them to then explain the origin of their moral codes. If they're honest, they're going to have to admit that they all originated in the writings of L. Ron Hubbard. And then explain to them the Christian belief that God himself gives us our moral code. And it's been inscripturated. It's been put in the Bible. Explain to them the belief that God gave his moral law to the Jewish people. And then he also gave every person in the world a conscience. And you might take them to Romans chapter 2. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 2. So now you're talking to them about how we know what is good and bad. And you're going to talk to them about the moral compass called the human conscience that God has put in each human being. Romans 2 and verse 14. "For when the Gentiles," and you might have to explain that term to them, these would be non-Jews, "for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts." How has it been written in their hearts? "Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." And then you want to go on and read verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." And that verse right there could be the launching point for you to give a full presentation of the gospel to your Scientologist friend. Then you might, as you're talking with your Scientologist friend about their moral code and their belief that man is intrinsically good, this humanism that's the basis of their way of thinking, you would challenge them on that. And you would say, how does that explain all of the evil that we see in the world? That is not a very good explanation for what's going on in the world. And you would tell them that Christianity has a better explanation. You could turn right over the page to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And you help your Scientologist friend to see what the Bible says. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has violated their moral compass, their conscience. No one is good in themselves. Now, eventually, you need to get talking with your Scientologist friend about what they believe concerning salvation and eternal life. Ask them to explain their belief concerning death. And it's wacky, let me tell you. And then explain the Christian concept of death and final judgment. We know Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So there's one death. There is no rebirth that takes place in a continuous manner, in this kind of reincarnation concept that they have in their system of belief. Each person lives once and dies. And after that, they face God in judgment. Your Scientologist friend needs to be confronted with that truth. And maybe by this time, they're ready to be confronted with the eternal reality of people who are lost. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Now, Ben made the comment, I think, this morning in Sunday school that we don't get to these chapters of our Bible as often as we should. And I think that's true for believers who we ought to be celebrating the eternal future that we have in store for us. But we also need to go to the end of our Bibles to confront unbelievers with their eternal destiny as well. Revelation 20, and I'll begin reading in verse 12. This is the final judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ultimately, you need to help your Scientologist friend to realize the peril of their soul. That if they do not come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will face God in judgment. And they will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And what's the last part of that verse? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so you are preparing the way to share with your Scientologist friend the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And at this point, you might share your personal testimony with your Scientologist friend. You might share with them how you have personally found rest through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might take them right back to that passage that we started this evening, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Read that passage to them. Help them to see that Jesus is offering to them rest for their soul. Rest for their soul. And share with them how they can have that rest. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel for all. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news for Scientologists who need to hear how they can be delivered from the unrest that they have in their soul. We need to warn young people about cults like Scientology. Young people, don't get caught up in cults like this. We need to share the true gospel with those who are trapped in Scientology. We need to tell them about how they can have true rest for their souls. Rest is not going to come by getting rid of these engrams and all of this stuff that they have come to believe through the writings of a man. True rest comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We need to tell them about Jesus. Our Father, we do pray for any who are caught up in this cult. We pray for any Scientologist who was curious enough, perhaps, to listen to this message online. And I pray for that person that you would pull them out of this cult that they're caught up in. That you would help them to see that the way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. The way of deliverance, the way of inner peace is through Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be gospel witnesses, even to people who are caught up in cults and various false religions of the world. May we have the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit to share with them the truths concerning Christ so that they might experience true inner peace, that they might find rest for their souls. We pray this in Jesus' name.